welcome to another episode of the Men Insights podcast. This is episode 130. That's right, 130 episodes of this little show that I've been doing for the last, let's see, 18, 19, 20. I'll just say this is season 5 premiere. Yeah, season 5 premiere of the Men Insights podcast with episode 130. And on this episode, I'll be discussing my thoughts and my predictions for the WWE Clash at the Castle premium live event streaming exclusively on Peacock in the United States and WWE Network everywhere else around the world. Of course, this is emanating from Cardiff, Wales, from what is the arena or stadium? Principality Stadium. Yeah, whatever. I'm hoping that's how it's pronounced, but yeah. Yeah, the premium live event, first major stadium pay-per-view, I'm going to say pay-per-view, for the WWE since SummerSlam 1992, 30th anniversary of that, was just a little while ago, which was the main event of the, main evented by one of the greatest matches in SummerSlam history, Bret Hart versus British Bulldog for the Intercontinental Championship. And of course this one is main evented by another, you know, UK native, but I'll get to that when I get to that match. As of right now, we have 6 matches scheduled for the show. And let me get right to the first one that's listed on here. The tag team match of the Judgment Day, Finn Balor and Damian Priest, taking on the team of Edge and Rey Mysterio. Of course, Judgment Day will have Rhea Ripley in their corner, and Edge and Rey will have Dominic Mysterio in their corner. I think this is going to be a pretty good match. They have had a good story that's been building up over the last few months, with Judgment Day kind of tormenting Rey and Dom, particularly Rhea Ripley going after Dominic. Which has just been, you know, fun for the memes, the all over social media that people have been enjoying very, very much. And of course, Edge, being the one who started Judgment Day, he is now on a mission to destroy what he created, rather. And of course, Rey and Edge have their history. They were tag team champions 20 years ago. They were SmackDown tag team champions. And like Edge said on his promo on Raw this week, the first time since Survivor Series 2002 that he'll be teaming with Rey. Not sure if it's really the first time since then. I feel like he's probably done it a couple of times after that, but I guess first time on a major event like this one. So yeah. But yeah, this one's going to be a pretty good match. I'm really intrigued by the story, and I think this one is where Dominic is probably finally going to turn on Rey. At least that's my speculation of it. And he'll be joining Judgment Day, and then we'll finally get that father versus son match that we've pretty much expected since Dominic made his WWE debut a few years ago. And of course, if that is the route that they're going to go, if that does happen, then that would mean that Judgment Day is going to win this match. And maybe this will lead to Edge versus Finn Balor at Extreme Rules next month, and then maybe something involving Beth Phoenix versus Rhea Ripley, which I would love to see that match. That one would be a fun match, a very hard-hitting match for sure. And as of right now, if Dominic is going to turn on Rey and Edge, I predict Judgment Day to win. But it could honestly go either way. So, and I would be fine with either result, really. But right now, prediction Judgment Day to win with the help of Dominic turning on his father. And another match that we have on here, it is one that honestly, I am most excited to see this match more than any of the others. Not to say that any of the other matches are bad, because honestly, from top to bottom, this looks like a pretty solid show. But this match in particular is one that I'm looking forward to. And it is Gunther defending the Intercontinental Championship against Sheamus. And the reason why I'm looking forward to this one, and a lot of people are looking forward to this one, because, you know, this is going to be a hard-hitting, you know, rock'em sock'em kind of match, which I don't even know why I said rock'em sock'em. But I remember, because I remember on that SmackDown when Sheamus got the number one contendership, all I saw from so many people sharing the clip of Big E from the New Day podcast talking about, you know, big meaty men slapping meat, and because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be big meaty men slapping meat, just slapping and chopping the hell out of each other, and I'm all for that. It's going to be it has the potential to be the match of the night, and even the promo that they had on SmackDown last week, really, I mean, I was already sold on the match, but that promo, that segment that they had where, you know, Butch and Ridge Holland fighting Ludwig all over the ring and ringside, and then Sheamus and Gunther just face to face in the ring, dead staring, no selling anything that's going on around them. I love that, really. And now, as far as how I think the match is going to go, I would hope that they would not have any, you know, outside shenanigans going on. I want this to be a straight one-on-one fight between the two, especially because since Triple H took over, that he has really been working to, I guess, you know, to reignite the prestige and honor of the United States Championship and the Intercontinental Championship, and especially for this kind of match on this show, you know, two guys from, you know, Europe, UK, whatever you want to call them, going one-on-one for the Intercontinental Championship, the workhorse championship of the WWE. This needs to be a solid, straight one-on-one fight. No outside interference, no kind of shenanigans. Just Sheamus, Gunther, one-on-one, head-to-head, man-to-man. Because that's what the fans want. And that would give us the match that we know that they are capable of giving us. Now, this is another match where either result I would be okay with. You know, I would be okay with Sheamus winning. I would be okay with Gunther winning. But because I think they're trying to build Gunther and have him be undefeated on SmackDown, especially because his thing is he's wanting to bring back the prestige and the honor and the legacy of the Intercontinental Championship, I predict that Gunther will win this fight. But again, either way, whichever one of them win, I'd be more than happy with. But Gunther is my prediction to win and retain the Intercontinental Championship. And then that brings us to the next match, which from this past Monday on Raw with their little promo, the off-camera part of the promo, is Matt Riddle. Yes, Matt Riddle, no longer just Riddle. He got his first name back, taking on Seth freaking Rollins. And this has been building up since Money in the Bank, with them being in the Money in the Bank ladder match. And they were supposed to have fight at SummerSlam, but whatever their reason was for them not being included there, I don't know. But this is going to be an awesome fight as well. And this one is another one that has the potential to be match of the night candidate for sure. But that promo, that segment between the two of them, where, you know, Rollins, you know, had brought up, you know, Matt Riddle's ex-wife and all that. Of course, he had to have been okay and approved of them doing that segment, because, you know, that's bringing his real life stuff into the story. That, I love that they did, because it added that bit of reality to it and made it feel like, okay, these two are really going to fuck each other up. And Matt Riddle even said as much. He's like, bro, you don't understand, I'm not going to beat you up, I'm going to fuck you up. And I love that so much, because... And I've seen all the people like, oh, you know, that means PG is dead. No, it's still going to be a PG product. You can be edgy like this with a PG product. You don't have to just be straight up TV-14 like AEW is, where they literally say shit, and it means nothing. This, you felt it when Rollins went off on him, when he said, want to talk about my family, let's talk about your family. Oh wait, you ain't got one, because your wife divorced you and took your kids and they don't want to see your bitch ass anymore. Now, you felt that when he laid out the bitch ass part, really. And of course, the fans in the arena, they responded accordingly to it. This one's going to be another awesome match. And of course, this is not going to be the last time. I see it going to like some kind of DQ finish, where they'll end up going to Extreme Rules, having some kind of like, you know, no DQ Extreme Rules kind of fight, which the way the story has been building up, it needs to have that kind of fight, and I hope it will go up to that. But as of right now, if they're going to, you know, have just a straight one-on-one wrestling match on this one, I predict Seth Rollins to win this one. And he's gonna win it in like a, you know, asshole heelish way that he can, and that's what's gonna lead to them having some kind of like hardcore Extreme Rules match, you know, at the next show. So yeah, Seth freaking Rollins to win this fight. And then we come to the 6 women tag team match. Bianca Belair teaming with Alexa Bliss and Asuka, taking on the team of Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky. Of course, this one building up from the return of Bayley and Dakota Kai and Io Sky at SummerSlam. And building off of that, which has reignited the women's division on Monday Night Raw, at least. And I'm excited for it, because I'm a fan of all six women, and I'm beyond happy that Dakota Kai is back in WWE, and that Bayley has finally made her return after over a year, and Io Sky has been back on TV after being gone from, what, like 4 or 5 months that she was gone from NXT, and of course, you know, Bianca Belair having one of the best years in women's wrestling in WWE, great year for her career, you know, having sealing the show at WrestleMania with Becky Lynch, having an awesome triple threat match at Hell in a Cell, having another awesome match at SummerSlam with Becky Lynch, and, you know, of course, Asuka being Asuka, she's always awesome, and Alexa Bliss having her big return earlier this year as well, and the story with all involving all six women. Of course, it's going to lead to Bayley and Bianca having a one-on-one match, because we never got to see a definitive finish to their story last year when they were both on SmackDown. So I'm glad that they're able to reignite that story and pick back up, and we're going to finally get the conclusion that we didn't get, because they were supposed to have a last woman standing match at Money in the Bank last year, but Bayley injured her leg and they had to replace her with Carmella last minute. But yeah, I'm excited that we get to see Bayley and Bianca Belair again and finally cap off that storyline that was building up for a good while last year. And then, of course, Dakota Kai and Io Sky, they were in the finals of the Women's Tag Team Championship tournament this past Monday. And, of course, that story's not over, because, you know, Dakota Kai was the one that got that was pinned, but she was not the legal participant in that particular part of the match. And, so, of course, there's going to be more story for that. And I'm assuming they're going to probably have a rematch on this coming Raw on Monday. And maybe that's when we'll finally get the returns of Sasha Banks and Naomi. But we shall see. But as far as this match, of course, it's going to be a great match. You know, all six women are amazing in the ring. And you know that they're going to work to steal the show as well. But as of right now, with the way the story has been building up and has been progressing, I am predicting Bianca, Alexa, and Asuka to win this one. And then Bayley and her team, that they're going to, you know, try to get their revenge on Raw, you know, this Monday. But yeah, my prediction, Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka to be victorious in this match. And then we come to the SmackDown Women's Championship. Liv Morgan defending against Shayna Baszler. And I am happy that Shayna Baszler has this shot, because she has been one of my favorites for a long time, especially during her time on NXT, having her dominant reign as women's champion that was eventually cut short when she lost to Rhea Ripley in December of 2019, I believe it was, on that episode of NXT. Then she came to Monday Night Raw, had her tag team run with Nia Jax, and she hasn't really had the much of a singles of anything really since coming to the main roster, but she's finally getting that, you know, that steady push right now. I personally feel like, because we kind of saw little hints of it a while back with Ronda Rousey, and when Ronda Rousey was going to fight Natalya, that Shayna Baszler was, you know, helping her, you know, training to fight Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. And then was having her little one with her when she was going to fight Natalya at Money in the Bank, saying that, you know, Natalya's my partner, I want no part of this. And then when they were going to have the contract signing for Liv Morgan and Shayna for you know, Clash at the Castle on that episode of SmackDown, and Shayna and Ronda Rousey came out, you know, to, you know, dropping the gym bag full of money, talking about, you know, paying fines and all that. Shayna had a moment as well, saying, like, you know, you can't do things like that, blah blah blah, that's not how we do it here. So I feel like they're building up to them eventually having a match, of course, Ronda and Shayna, maybe, you know, for WrestleMania, if they want to push it that far along, we shall see. But with Liv Morgan, I mean, she just won the championship at Money in the Bank, which was awesome, so happy, and then she retained it in kind of a, you know, bullshit way at SummerSlam, and fans are kind of starting to turn on her because of that. So I don't know if they would want to have her retain the championship or put it on Shayna Baszler and have Shayna go on a dominant winning streak as champion as well, which I would love to see that. I would love to see that, really. And maybe that's what they were going to go for, because other than being tag team champion with Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler hasn't really done that much on the main roster. Yeah, she had her feud with Becky Lynch going to WrestleMania 36, and then had her thing with Nia Jax, but beyond that, she hasn't really done much, you know, if we're being totally honest here. So I'm hoping that this is the start of the singles push of the dominant monster, you know, fighter Shayna Baszler that we know she is and can be and should be. And as I'm saying that and looking at it, I'm predicting for Shayna Baszler to win and be the new SmackDown Women's Champion. Which brings us to the main event of the show, which is, of course, Drew McIntyre, the Scottish Warrior, challenging the head of the table, the Tribal Chief, the undisputed WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, and a story that's been building up for several months now, and could even say it's been building up for a few years, because they've had their history for a little while, and they had their match at WrestleMania 35, then there was the tag match at that Extreme Rules, where it was Roman Reigns and Undertaker teaming up against Drew and Shane McMahon, then they had their match at Survivor Series 2020, and they had the six-man tag match at WrestleMania Backlash a while back as well, and so yeah, there's a lot of history there, and to my recollection, Drew McIntyre has not defeated Roman Reigns on any kind of pay-per-view or premium live event, so there's that little element right there, and of course, Roman has been undefeated for 2 years as champion, which, yeah, as of August 30th is exactly 2 years that he's been champion, a dominant champion, and has been on one of the best championship streaks of anyone in the last 20 years, really. This is the best Roman Reigns that we have had, and I've said it in my other predictions and other videos and podcasts that I've done on here. This is going to be an awesome match. As soon as it was made official, I said this is going to be an awesome match, and it is definitely a match that I've been looking forward to for a while, and it is a match that I feel has had a really good build up, and but now we have that little wrench in the things with the return of Karrion Kross. Staking his claim and marking his territory, if you want to describe it that way. I'm describing it that way. But yeah, him showing up on that SmackDown and attacking Drew and targeting him, and then also Scarlett, you know, leaving the hourglass in the ring for Roman Reigns and turning it over to see the sand coming down in the hourglass. So obviously he's going to be involved somehow after a Clash at the Castle. To what extent? We shall see, but there are a lot of things that could go with this one, and if rumors are to be believed with a certain fiendish character that could potentially return and cost Roman Reigns the championship, and he will lose the title and start that story on the side, which I would be more than okay with. Maybe this could be Drew McIntyre having the big win of his career that he has been so deserving and has earned for the longest time. If the rumors are to be believed, and we get a return of a certain fiendish character costing it for Roman Reigns, that Drew McIntyre will win the undisputed WWE Universal Championship in Cardiff, Wales at Clash at the Castle, and then he will go on to have his little feud with Karrion Kross afterwards, and Roman Reigns will have his little feud going forward after that, assuming that that's where they're gonna go, and if not, then Roman Reigns should retain. I'm also wondering, because when I was doing my little bit of research before I decided to record this, and I saw that a tweet from Drew McIntyre, we had tweeted a poster for Clash of the Castle that had only him on it, and on the caption of the tweet he put, "Out of time, so say goodbye." Which that has made everyone speculate whether or not that means he's going to return with his old Broken Dreams theme song, at least for one night only, which would be cool. It's an awesome theme, a badass theme song, one of the most iconic WWE theme songs, honestly, in my opinion. But I don't know, his current theme is pretty fucking badass as well, so I don't know. Either way, it's another one where I predict it could go either way, honestly, but if the rumors are to be believed, then I predict Drew McIntyre to walk out as new champion. And that is going to do it for this episode of the Men in Tights podcast. I hope you all enjoyed it. My little return to doing regular episodes after being absent for a month, after my last one being my video game review for Spider-Man Miles Morales, that as of right now is the second most watched video on my YouTube channel, which I appreciate every single one of you who has watched it. Thank you very much for helping make that happen. It is the most liked video on my channel, and is, again, as of right now, my second most watched video at, let me look at it right now, 2,539 views. Holy shit. That is a lot. And I've rewatched it, and it is one of the better video game reviews that I've done so far. But it's just, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out what it is that I did with that, or that got getting so much attention, or if it's the YouTube algorithm working in my favor for once. But either way, I'm appreciative of everyone who has clicked on that one and has checked it out. And those of you who have, because most of the people who watched it were not subscribed, I hope you did subscribe afterwards. And if you're watching or listening to this one, please do subscribe. You can do so at YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Breaker. I think Breaker is still good. Apple Podcast, Radio Public, Stitcher, whole bunch of them. You can check the link in the description of this down below. Click the Linktree link. You can get all the links to that, and also the link to my Men in Tights podcast store to get some fun t-shirt designs. My Straight Edge t-shirt, my best-selling t-shirt design on there. So very appreciative of everyone who purchases that, as someone who is Straight Edge for life, right there. Very much appreciative, and it means a lot to me. And but yeah, thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for tuning in, for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do. Please, if you would like to check out past content that I've done on here, you can check out my video game reviews, like my Spider-Man Miles Morales, like my reviews for The Last of Us, the remastered PS4 version for The Last of Us Part 2, for Marvel Spider-Man on PS4, for the WWE 2K22, for the Uncharted franchise. I'm going to try to do more of the video game reviews again. Quite a few of them. Been recently replaying the Arkham games. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see I have Arkham Asylum paused right behind me. I'm gonna eventually do a review for that, review for Mortal Kombat, and also movie reviews, retro film reviews as well. I'm trying really hard to get back into doing a lot of those again. It's just that I've had a lot of other stuff going on, you know, personally, professionally, and other things as well. But yeah, check all those out. And again, thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do, and I hope you all are doing well, staying safe, staying healthy, taking care of yourselves, taking care of your loved ones, being the awesome people that I know you are and that you can be. And yeah, this has been of the Men in Tights podcast, the season 5 premiere of the Men in Tights podcast. I am Julian, and I will see all of you on the next one. Bye-bye.